times of crisis, there will always emerge those seeking to make unfolding calamities bend in their favor. Where others seek to resolve conflict or prevent catastrophe, the venal and the corrupt seek to advance their own agendas, selfish aims intent on usurping the goodwill of others for personal gain. Acts wholly immoral are these, for ultimately in the minds of such individuals, the arc of the universe bends solely towards them. It matters not that they themselves, knowingly or unknowingly, are typically cogs in a movement greater than they, middlemen on a ladder of pawns serving the interests of another. They have calculated that this is the moment to make their play. Damn whomever is in their path. The Age of Darkness was ever a tragedy that birthed other, smaller, yet no less awful tragedies. In the grand tradition of periods of human history where the tyrannical and the insane have thrown order into chaos, the Horus Heresy birthed a madcap scramble that saw rivalries, disagreements, and feuds of all orders caught in the proverbial whirlpool of galactic war. Today's record speaks to this. Of agendas once occluded, birthing beginnings most terrible. Internecine disputes reaching heights undreamt. Know then that this is a record of the death of innocence, of the enmities of the Lords of the Red Planet, and the birth of something utterly malign. The rise of the Dark Mechanicum. Elaborated on in one's previous record, the death of innocence marked in Dark Cataclysm the beginning of the Age of Darkness on Mars. But the tensions that preceded it, and led in large part to the explosive viciousness of the conflicts that followed, ran deep through the strata of the Martian Mechanicum. The unleashing of the chaotic scrap code from the vaults of Moravec at 788005M31 is considered in historiography the opening shot, so to speak, similar to the War Master's declaration of "Let the galaxy burn" in the skies above Istvan III. But, as with that incident, many acts of treason and treachery, manipulation and scheming, occurred prior. While the Fabricator General had engineered circumstances, treaties, and base blackmail to bring many high-ranking Archmagi to his side, the Mechanicum was a far, far more fractious entity than the Imperium, and certainly far more so than the Legion as Astartes. Never could Kelbor Hal have hoped to command loyalty in the manner Horus Lupercal had, nor even the Warmaster himself could actively court. As with the Astartes and the Exertus Imperialis, dissenters to the direction of the Fabricator General must be purged. And again, as with the Astartes, this began as a bow wave of internecine conflict, cloaked by subterfuge or obscured by a pretense of legitimacy. To those priests of Mars who might yet be convinced, was dispatched Kelbor Hal's delegate, Archimandrite Orator Melgator. But where no, admittedly ill-trusting, accord could be struck, means far more sinister were utilized to winnow the defenses and capabilities of the enemies of the Fabricator General. As early as 689005M31, Lucas Chrome had deployed hostile automata to the Palladus Wastes, a region stretching between the forges of the Tharsis Quadrangle, an area of Mars dominated by a series of forges that formed the most powerful political and industrial bloc in opposition to Kelbor Hal. These automatic reavers, however, were next to naught compared to one of their number, the Caban Machine. This construct was a creation of absolute damnation. Its very being spoke to an unspeakable rot within the character and mind of one of the Fabricator General's closest allies. Long had it been rumored that Crom skirted the very limits of both Imperial law and Martian dogma in his research and development of automata. It was one of the most sacred tenets shared by the twin empires of Terra and Mars. Per the Logistica Corpus, they shall not suffer a machine to think, for ruin shall be its purpose, and accursed be its work. Yet this desecration was the goal. Chrome labored for years to create a war machine with a true, abominable intelligence. And this vile beast was unleashed to harrow the enemies of Kelbor Hal. Accompanied by a cabal of Myrmidon priests to record and catalog its destructive patterns and capabilities, the Caban machine tore a trail of destruction through the fiefs of Epluvian Maximal, its paths headed into the rift of Ulysses Fosse, and the vast chain of plasma reactors that nestled within. Archmagos Maximal was, however, no fool, and realized ill acts were afoot that went far beyond the usual Psi Carnivora attacks his forges put up with. He had thus petitioned a trio of Knight Scions from House Tyrannus to hunt, who now were drawn into the fight unlike anything they had ever experienced. The Caban machine rivaled a Warhound Scout Titan in size, and tore into the Knight suits with the belligerence and ferocity of truly inhuman intelligence. Each second of the conflict risked revealing Chrome's actions, however, and thus the Caban machine was bade ignite the reactors. A chain reaction of nuclear annihilation obliterated everything save the Knights themselves. Crucially, this included any trace of the machine's passage or its origins. Word of the attack, brought to Archmagos Maximal by the surviving trio of Scions, inflamed already bitter tensions in the Tharsis Quadrangle. Accusations about the identity of the Caban machine, its inherent heresy, and the character of Lucas Chrome were met with staunch denial and barbed comments about Epluvian Maximal's ability to manage the security of his own domain and institutions, also stating that the operation had likely been a false flag, undertaken to smear a rival and garner sympathy in a power play. The War of Binaric Cant was utilized by the traitors to further advance their agendas, in secret, as the accusations flying back and forth dominated the data streams and popular discourse. Long placed under moratorium by the Martian Synod, the traitor faction rescinded the banning of honor duels between knight houses, rendering them legal once more and leading to an immediate dozen or so honor duels between House Zavora and Morbidia, with only three bouts concluding without at least one death. Enmities buried by the rule of law were becoming unearthed, and even the most petty grievance was finding its way into being aired. Tharsis became a locus for such activity. Airspace and border lines became rigorously enforced, with aircraft and ground forces deployed on patrol duties, mirroring each other's paths in hostile posturing, or indeed, forcing exacting and unnecessary diversions and inspections on trade shipments. In the wastes, this escalated as far as actual combat, although only between the lowest entities in Mechanicum hierarchies. Tech Thrall battalions and Vorax Hunter automata, typically deployed to hunt Psi Carnivora, now had their seeker protocols subtly rewritten to target those of the opposing Forge Fanes. Perhaps the most dangerous of these powder kegs was the feud between the Titan Legios, Mortis, and Tempestus. Rivals wholly ancient, the Legios were part of the Triad Ferrum Morgulus, along with the Legio Ignatum. They were the oldest Titan Legios in existence, and their hatred for each other was as profound as their legacies. Their domains bordered one another, two vast regions split by the ancient Tempest Line, an inviolate boundary that Mortis had for months been conducting supposed training exercises ever closer to. Mortis Princeps Penultima Camulus, commander of the Legio on Mars, had repeatedly answered the summons of Tempestus's Grand Master, Indius Cavalierio, to account for his Legio's actions, but this had only inflamed tensions further, as these interactions were, shall we say, far from cordial, nor entered into with even a modicum of good faith. the death of innocents thus rendered into unholy cataclysm, a situation that had been perched on a knife edge for months. Tensions exacerbated and wielded by the traitors to destabilize their foes ahead of any actual, overt operations to follow. The scrap code unleashed by Kelbor Hal, however, was not indiscriminate in its application of wicked destruction. With malicious warp-born intelligence, it attacked only those forges who were known to bear closer loyalty to Terra than the Fabricator General, or those who were known to worship the Emperor as Omnissiah, or those whose loyalty simply could not be determined one way or another. To the allies of Kelbor Hal, it did not bring annihilation and sabotage, but rather change. Many traitorous magi found their minds warped and expanded, their concepts of reality shattered, rebuilt into new forms beyond mortal understanding. Into their systems flowed the scrap code, seemingly enhancing as it went, yet causing curious, inexplicable, and malefic new functionalities. The traitorous priests and their charges were left in the scrap code's wake, changed beings, wholly more bellicose, wicked, and cruel than they had been before. As millions died across the Red Planet, the screams of their deaths were accompanied by the laughter of magi glutting themselves on something utterly new and wholly terrible. With the fires of the death of innocence came the birth of a new, dark Mechanicum. But as a deluge of anti-binaric genocide rolled across the wastes and forges of Mars, several domains that bordered Kelbor Hal's Olympus Mons powerhouse emerged as being unpredictably resistant to the rampages of the scrap code. The forge fanes of Zagreus Cain, Coriel Zeth, and Epluvian Maximal were largely unscathed by the malicious actions of the chaotic Data Djinn, although the latter had been sorely wounded by the attacks of the Kaban machine previously. The trio, who had, prior to the death of innocents, formed the largest political and ideological bloc opposing Kelbor Hal, had each become early adopters of High Adept Macrotech Zeth's pioneering New Sphere technology, a wireless informational transfer system of unparalleled speed and accuracy. The New Sphere was Coriel Zeth's greatest work thus far, a technology recovered initially by the mentor of her own mentor in the ancient Gyptus reaches of Terra. It was more efficient and direct even than binaric Kant, and considered near lossless in its clarity of informational packets transferred between users or cogitators. Despite this, its origins, clearly lying deep within the Dark Age of Technology, meant its adoption stove into the headwinds of the more hardline elements of Mechanicum ideology. The most reactionary and conservative factions, often spearheaded or quietly supported by Kelbor Hal, opposed its broad adoption. This, inadvertently, gave Zeth and her allies a distinct advantage. The advanced systems of the New Sphere proved a significant obstacle to the scrap code, delaying and stymieing its advance long enough that the forges under attack severed their external communication links. It had prevented the worst of the damage. The forges of Zeth, Maximal, and Cain still suffered from mass hysteria, outbreaks of rioting and civic violence, as well as damage wrought upon their peripheral systems that their calculus logi estimated would take months to repair. This, of course, presumed the trio in fact had months. They were canny enough to realize they likely did not. In remote New Sphere communication, the three Archmagi agreed that the scrap code and its havoc was clearly the prelude of some sort of broad-scale planetary attack, although led by whom and of what nature, they could not be sure. Suspicions, quite naturally, revolved around the Fabricator General. Zeth, Cain, and Maximal resolved to activate the various Tagma that bore them fealty and petitioned allied elements for aid. In the case of High Adept Zeth, she dispatched calls for aid from Nighthouse Tyrannus, and Titans from the Legio Tempestus. Zeth's petitions came in tandem with the High Adept Macrotech receiving one herself. Onto her Magma City came the Fabricator General's personal envoy, Archimandrite Orator Melgator. Unbeknownst to Zeth, her city domain had been granted singular attention in the Dark Mechanicum's forward planning, a hitherto unknown importance insisted upon by Magister Lictanex Regulus, the Warmaster Horus's personal envoy. Such was Regulus's sway, and the power of the Warmaster, that Kelbor Hal had relented to this as part of the pact he had sworn to Horus. With the threat he represented barely veiled, the subtly, darkly changed Melgator now made inquiries of Zeth, noting theatrically that her city had been spared the ravages of the Death of Innocence, yet seemingly bearing no care for the millions that already lay dead, and the millions more that were actively dying. The Archimandrite Orator intimated, despite Zeth's insistence that the New Sphere had been responsible, that it had not been her greatest work, but rather another, a secret, altogether more heretical project that had seen the Magma City through the dark night. Already having her collar spiked by the emissary's attempted intimidation, Zeth became furious as Melgator declared that the Scrapcoat attack had been unleashed by the Emperor as part of a hidden plan to fully subjugate Mars and the Mechanicum, and that Kelbor Hal sought now boldly to resist this tyranny. High Adept Zeth, seeing the explanation as a ludicrous fiction covering the power play by the Fabricator General, dismissed Melgator from her city with as stern a rebuke as possible, knowing full well that this action placed her on a collision course with the forces of the Fabricator General, and this would almost certainly mean military conflict. Melgator, having been provided secret information by Regulus, had subverted Zeth's expectations with his knowledge of her most clandestine work, for she did indeed have a project whose secrecy was paramount. The High Adept had ever been an outspoken opponent of the dogmatic traditions she felt continued to suffocate the Mechanicum. This would have been a politically and indeed mortally difficult position to hold had it not been for the woman's almost unsurpassed genius. Her work, and that of her mentors, had cemented the Magma City as an industrial and technological titan of the Martian economy, rivaling that of Olympus Mons. It was this power that Zeth used to shield herself and her researches. Unlike, say, the sinister machinations of Lucas Chrome and his work with Abominable Intelligence, Zeth did not seek to replicate the sins of humanity's past, but rather transcend them. In the closing years of the Great Crusade, the High Adept Macrotech's explorations had bent into the esoteric, focusing on the nature of knowledge itself. To accomplish this, Zeth had labored to create a device she had come to term the Akashic Reader, developed from ancient archaeotech recovered, some would say stolen, from Terra, by Martian magi in ages past, much like the foundations for her new sphere had been. The Akashic Reader, in theory, was designed to access an essentially metaphysical wellspring of knowledge that lay within the realm of the Immaterium, a fountain of pure information, deep within the depths of warp space. Such a concept had been debated by philosophants of humanity's past, dubbed by many more of an idea than a reality. According to Zeth's research, it was no mere philosophical. It was entirely real. The device would use pure aetheric energy, raw warp forms, channeled through thousands of caged psykers in order to accomplish its purpose. This latter aspect alone, not to mention the very idea of the reader itself, raises several questions. The source of the device's power was to be the Astronomicon itself, the psychic beacon by which the Emperor guides the fleets of humanity through the warp. The Astronomicon was on the proverbial doorstep of Mars, at least in relative galactic terms, making it ideal for Zeth's purposes. Essentially hijacking a fraction of the light of the Emperor himself beggars belief, but so too do Zeth's pursuit into realms of technology strictly controlled by the Imperial household. Indeed, so too does her access of the human psyker batteries that would aid the device in its operation. To acquire so many psychically sensitive individuals means that the High Adept had access to, and contacts within, the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, and the League of Black Ships. This would, in turn, mean she would have had to be granted essentially leeway by that organization's Divisio Investigatis, the Anathema Psychana, or Sisters of Silence in Low Gothic. There is fundamentally no means by which the High Adept could have developed her device upon Mars, utilizing the power source it did and the components it had, without the tacit approval of the Imperial Household and one of its closest and most rigorously controlled subordinate organizations. Such a thought leads one to one of two explanations. That High Adept Zeth was working on behalf of the Emperor himself, or Horus Lupercal. Given the Dark Mechanicum's intelligence on Zeth's Akasic reader, as closely, if not more closely guarded a secret than the Caban machine, intelligence provided by Regulus and thus Horus, it is possible that in the final years of the Great Crusade, the War Master had utilized his position to supply Zeth with the tools and human resources she needed to finalize her device, concealing its existence in the very system that the Emperor currently resided within. Such an explanation, though difficult to stomach, certainly provides some means of understanding why the Dark Mechanicum placed such importance on the capture of the Magma City in the weeks to come, when it could have simply annihilated the metropolis from afar. Horus, and thus Regulus, would have been nigh desperate to seize such an unprecedented and uniquely powerful technology, and one that they had had a significant role in facilitating the creation of. Mere days passed before Archimandrite Melgator returned once more to the Magma City, but the envoy of the Dark Mechanicum did so now at the head of a vast military host. From a massive insectoid macro carrier, Melgator drove forth phalanxes of tech thralls, silent myrmidon covens, and automata of all classes. All were marked, to greater or lesser degrees, by the corruptive influence of Moravec's scrap code. Nanite ichor frothing from orifices, crackling arcs of dark energy sparking between mechanical enhancements, and halos of aetheric discharge manifesting at random. Accompanied by Magister Lictinex Regulus, the voice of the War Master, the host alighted the Typhon Causeway, the only entrance to the Magma City from the south. The Dark Mechanicum saw no interest in veiling its nature, or its intentions. Negotiations with High Adept Zeth had failed. Now came time for an ultimatum. At the face of the Vulcan Gate, portal immaculate to the Forge Fane of Coriel Zeth, the traitors, borne forth on an abeyant, delivered the final demands of the Fabricator General. High Adept Macrotech Zeth was to accompany them to Olympus Mons, to stand trial for techno-heresy, apostasy before the machine god, and dereliction of her feudal obligations. Each accusation was delivered in both augmented flesh voice and binaric cant, and each was accompanied by howling waves of scrap code that sought to sunder the new spheric wards of the Magma City. The actual remarks delivered by the emissaries were mere theatrics. The Dark Mechanicum had already decided to wrest control of Zeth's city for its own aims. The speeches of Melgator were a delivery vector for scrap code, which, augmented now by the sinister cyber-theurgy of Regulus, proved far more potent than the initial attacks during the Death of Innocence. weapon emplacements surrounding the Vulcan Gate powered down, infected by the pernicious anti-binaric. As a final battery shuddered into inactivity, Zeth herself marched out of the vast portal to deliver her rebuke. Scorn she poured upon the Dark Mechanicum's demands, wholly rejecting Kelbor Hal and his traitorous machinations. She affirmed her loyalty for the Emperor as both the Master of Mankind and the Omnissiah. In defiance, and emerging to accompany her words, came a dozen knights of House Tyrannis, recently arrived and sworn to the defense of the city and its mistress. Furious, Regulus drove forth the scrap code with his cyber theurgy, but the knights had shut down all incoming links, providing the code with no network port with which to infect their systems. Melgator and Regulus retreated. High Adept Zeth's position had been made abundantly clear. The emissaries of Kelbor Hal and Horus were unwilling to risk their own lives against the guns of House Tyrannis. Zeth ordered no pursuit mounted. It has been debated by many that at this point she perhaps held some slim hope that full-scale war could yet be avoided. If this was the case, the High Adept was gravely mistaken. Her public rebuke to the demands of Olympus Mons proved the perfect opportunity for the Fabricator General to throw off all pretense of restraint. Across Mars, forces loyal to Kelbor Hal and Horus began to march. Ancient enmities were acted upon. Rivalries centuries or millennia old in the making soon found themselves on either side of the loyalist and traitor divide. Those loyal to Olympus Mons were empowered by the malefic touch of the scrap code, glutting themselves now upon hapless loyalists in orgies of destruction. Already wholly debilitated by the rampages of the scrap code, Forge Fanes fell by the dozen. The might of Kelbor Hal's allies were unstoppable in their gleeful furies. Everywhere did slaughter reign. As the red planet burned in fires dark and terrible, Coriel Zeth drew up plans for the defense of the Magma City. Plans she knew would only amount to a defiant last stand in the face of absolute annihilation. Yet one she resolved, grimly, to carry out nevertheless. Until such a time as one may relate further tales of the death of innocence and the schism of Mars, until such a time as one can bear to relate the doom of the Magma City. Ave Imperator. Gloria in Excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter at Oculus Imperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.